are not also going to be able to deal with issues relating to corruption and fraud and so on and so on. Let's be clear about that. Because it's this loose arrangement that facilitates this kind of behavior. It's this resistance which is allowed to continue that facilitates this kind of behavior. Slide 10 of that document that you presented to us. You are talking to the challenges you have with the manner in which entities do their financial reporting, which differs from the department. Which is, my question is, whatever system they use, is it within the internationally accepted auditing and reporting standards? And therefore departments allow them to go on to report in a manner that becomes difficult for the responsible departments to hold them accountable, and make it difficult for Parliament to hold them accountable in terms of this thing. You're also saying that they don't have, what did you say, plans or something?
This is your 10th question.
Yeah, my last one. I think it's this. Yeah, fifth one. Does it mean then there is an issue about their basic planning? Because you must have a plan, you must have a budget, that you must have targets, you must have a budget you assign to those targets, and then you implement, and then you measure your achievements, and then you measure your outcomes. So are you saying to us all of that is lost to the department, and these entities are running themselves as they wish? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, just want to. Mine is, what do you as Treasury deduce from the so many under expenditure? From the so many departments that have underspent their budget in this first quarter? Because there are many. And I think about six that have overspent, but I'm more concerned about your military defense budget, because they have overspent on all their programs. What do you deduce on that end? Because I think one of your roles also as a key stakeholder to this committee is to advise us on the challenges and also on possible solutions. And what do you think can be done to curb this the problem? And then my other concern is the delay in the payment of the first tranche to NSFAS by Social Development. Now, NSFAS again, when there's such a crisis in the education, higher education, post-education, post and higher education and training, I don't know, how are you advising? What was your intervention? Because this one, you don't want people to know, cannot be allowed. The delay in the payment of the first tranche to NSFAS by this department. So if you can, comment on that one. But also, I think Honourable Member Imam touched on the monitoring and evaluation unit. All the departments have got this unit, and your department also has this unit. What is the role of this unit, and how is it assisting? Because I think this unit was put with the people. But the other role that I think you must consider, mentioning it for the second time to Treasury, that of training these monitoring and evaluation units of all the departments so that they are effective and efficient in their work. Because we're sitting with these programs, it doesn't look like they are doing what they're expected to do. Monitoring, evaluation, and in their evaluation, they will then come up with turnaround or recommendations for correction so that those come the next quarter, the weaknesses that they would have identified are corrected. So I think on the three, I think that one would assist. And then, you see, on the digital terrestrial television project, the Department of Communications spent a total of 4.4 million, which can be translated to 30.3% against a total budget of 14.5 million. Now, the expenditure was mainly on travel costs, rental, hiring, catering costs in relation to the door-to-door campaign and the individual health with regards to the DTT project, this digital terrestrial television project. Have they submitted to National Treasury the cost containment measures? Because to me, this where they've spent the money is within that. And would you then say, obviously there's no value for money, because we're not hearing about the progress made on the implementation of the project, but it's money spent on traveling. So would you say this is the best way to raise awareness of the DTT project, or are there other ways, instead of consuming the money that is supposed to go into the project, but they consume it by traveling and, you know, on the fruits, using it on the fruits instead of on the project itself. The last one will be, you see, on the broad band, National Treasury had indicated in our meeting with the Department of Tele and Post Services.
Post Office and Telecommunications.
No, the way you wrote that. Yeah, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Telecommunications, right? That both this department and the Department of Communications were failing. So they were broadly responsible for broadband infrastructure and digital migration. National Treasury had questions on whether CETA, as in S-I-T-A, and BDI were capable of running the project. Also, National Treasury was waiting for information from CETA. Now what we would like to know is, how far is this? I don't know if the last one is clear. Is the last question clear? Okay. Yeah, I think that's what we'd like to get from you. If you could
just respond. So I'll just on to what I think it would be worthwhile for the committee to call both CETA and DPW and the Treasury to the same meeting to talk about the invoicing, the late payments, the disputes of invoicing. It's not only the late invoicing, it's also when sometimes you get the invoicing, you say this can't be the right amount because last month's account was X, this amount can't be X plus 50%. Then you first have to have a dispute before you can pay. So I think that would be best that and then between the three departments and yourself, we get to closer to the root cause of the problem. I think what happens in departments, and I think it's a general thing, people underestimate how long something will take. They always err on the side of optimism. It's like when the builder comes to do something in your house and they say it will just take 2 weeks. And you believe that because you want it to take 2 weeks, but actually it takes 4 weeks. It's something like that. Because when you draw up a contract, both parties have to agree that this is the contract. So in the SLA, what they will put down is these are the deliverables and the date. Now, if you're the person that has got to do the delivery, maybe in your head you're thinking, no, I would prefer less deliverables in the beginning and more at the end. And so then you also have to have a to-ing and fro-ing. And they cannot pay until they have a signed SLA. Because if they pay without a signed SLA, then they pick up other problems and then they'll be at SOFA. So the, but maybe those are also some of the questions that, that can also be asked in that same meeting with CETA and DPW. Contracts that I think are easier to work with are ones that are signed over multiple years, because then you've got the contract and then it's just a matter of revising the deliverables on a yearly basis and then you can go. Often when you start out new, those are where the, so I'm not wanting to make excuses for any department, but I would imagine that that is part of the reason. It also relates to if a department has got strong capacity, legal capacity, that can do proper contracts, those ones tend to be the ones that are not don't have problems and they move ahead quite easily. Mark will answer the HIV and AIDS. The land reform, honourable member, as you know, we the same, it's, every time we come, it's the same reason. So I think what we will do for the committee is to go through that the big sheet that we gave you and 16-17 and the first quarter and then just go for the repeat offenders, same reason all the time, either side, and then the committee can use that as a basis to call people. I want to link Honourable Shopee Satoli's question with an answer that I want to give Mr. Kovaza, Honourable Kovaza. The state-owned enterprises project is only referring to Schedule 2 public entities. So those are the ESCOMs, Transnets and all of that. The ones that I was speaking about, the 154 3A public entities are not in that project. So I may have given you the impression that there's some problems with those. It's not those ones. I mean, Mark can talk a bit about the NDA as an example of where we try to say that a public entity should be inside the department and what the department and the public entity are saying back at us. So that project, because those public entities there, ESCOM, Transnet, etc., they've got a due responsibility. They report to the Minister of Public Enterprises as the shareholder, but their legislation is also with the Minister, so ESCOM would be also have dealings with the Minister of Energy and Transnet with the Minister of Transport. That is where the discussions must take place. But those are not the ones that are so much in the closing merging. The closing merging is the smaller ones, the 154 that I spoke about earlier, the NDAs, the part of the FANSAL is the same as the CRL Commission. It's those smaller ones that are a little bit complicated. So for SAA, for example, up to now, SAA would have, like ESCOM, have not received most of their funds via appropriations, which is why they won't come to the appropriations committee. It is only the things that are appropriated in the Appropriation Act that the committee would have the bigger oversight over. But now that they've been given money via Section 16, SAA would then could also come and explain. I'm happy if the committee puts them in the list as well. Let me just get to then Honourable Sikinyani's questions about what does the Treasury do. So on a monthly basis, we come here on a quarterly basis, but we get these reports from the departments on a monthly basis. And so we would go through them. We would see basic education as they started the year and it hasn't spent on its CD money. We would call up the program manager in the department. We would sit down with them and have a meeting. We would ask them, what is the problem here you seem to be doing, which is what we did, ma'am. You're giving the exact same reason you gave us the last time, and why have you not made any progress in this regard? And so we meet with them on a monthly basis to discuss, and so do my colleagues, Mark will do that with social development and health. My colleagues who are responsible for police will meet with them. And we first meet and we talk. Then if that doesn't help, we will write a formal letter saying, we noticed this and we've asked you, and we write to the accounting officer and say, can you please undertake your responsibilities in terms of the PSMA. But because the PSMA gives the accounting officer the responsibility of dealing with their budget, and we only do high-level oversight, the accounting officer has to accept the responsibility for the underspending and the overspending. So I will just read to you on the supervisor because you asked about how. In the PSMA, Section 38 gives the general responsibilities of accounting officers. An accounting officer is responsible for setting up an appropriate procurement and provisioning system which is fair, equitable, transparent, competitive and cost effective. So it is their primary job to do this. The Treasury will provide the guidelines, they will provide training to the officials, and they will do oversight once the project has gone. Because if the Treasury gets involved in procurement, they're not the accounting officer. The accounting officer has to accept responsibility for the use of the money. So it's only when we do transversal contracts in which the Treasury does the contract on behalf of a set of services that we will run the procurement process. Otherwise it is the responsibility of the department whose money it is to do that. Similarly, you asked about how the accounting officer must also have a system for properly evaluating all major capital projects prior to a final decision on the project. So when you asked in the beginning, is it something about the law? So the law gives the accounting officer of a department or a public entity all the authority to deal with their money. And the Treasury only has oversight over what they do. We cannot step in and take over any of their functions because then we are the referee and the player. That doesn't mean that where we see a department is struggling, so for example in basic education then, we saw the department was struggling. We have a unit in the Treasury that deals with infrastructure. We sent that person to sit with them and help them sort through their contracts, put up their project plan, get the oversight that they needed to do. But that is as far as we can go, because if we step into the domain of doing their work, then we have taken over the responsibility of the department and then we can't do our oversight. But if you want to know more detail about how the OCPO actually does their work, my colleague Willie Matabula, the acting OCPO, can give you more detail. But I just wanted to, it's a hard thing to say where does your role kind of stop and where are you overstretching and overreaching your role as a Treasury. Our job is to help improve service delivery. So that's how I approach it. Whatever I need to do, that is what I do. But I also know that the law gives the accounting officer the responsibility.
Yes.
Did you want to respond?
Chairperson, through you, Chairperson. That was part of the question, and part of the question was exactly what you are now saying. The OCPO must must respond, because it's not clear in the whole tendering processes. Let me not say tender, the whole procurement processes, because that's what they are supposed to facilitate. Where do they come in? That's where I wanted to understand. And that's why I made an example, Chairperson, of what we had when they came here was, we can go into the project and determine how it's going to cost. And so we can tell if a bidder has overpriced and say no, that department, you can't spend this much. This project is worth this much. This school is worth 35 million rand and not 75 million rand.
Okay, I think you can respond, but please, if you can be short into the point, we have another presentation.
I really want to give you the full answer.
I'm comfortable with the other.
Yeah, so they can, really will pick that up. So really the question is, how does the OCPO help with procurement in departments? And how does the triple PSA itself a problem in terms of being effective for opening the space for smaller suppliers and cooperatives to also access government contracts? So, ma'am, the truth of the matter is, when you call one of these departments, and maybe the committee should choose somebody specifically where they have all of the items, the delay in payments, the delay in signing contracts, and ask them directly, what is the actual problem? Because I think it would vary from department to department, but I think it's got to do with the nature of contracting that leads to delays. Honourable Baza, I tried to answer by your question about the authority of the National Treasury. And yes, we do have a fair amount of authority in terms of the PSMA, but likewise so does the accounting officer. And one tries to maintain that separation. But it's not that we don't take on departments, we do, but maybe it's not. It's not a public, it's a much more measured, so we would meet first before we write the letter. If it gets so bad, sometimes our minister would have to write to that minister. And only after that would we then use some of the PSMA provisions to start instituting things. For example, the Treasury has on occasion taken over provincial functions, but you've got to do all of that work before you get into that space. But it's worthwhile having a discussion, because we think of ourselves as helping departments, they think of us as interfering in their business. So it's finding the match there that would be important. In terms of COE, it's us. So in that monthly report, we also get all the COE. And we monitor that, and we monitor goods and services and everything else. So it is, we're doing a big exercise now for the adjustment budget to look at whether those COE ceilings would be met, and to encourage departments to undertake to look at, do they have people that are already over 65? So in terms of the public service, they should actually be leaving. You know, do they need all the posts? Have they looked at the way of doing business? Can they reduce their posts by that amount? So that is how we will try and get to the 4,110 people. Mark will come back to that other question. On the accounting, I think the Honourable Tocken and I will agree, the cruel accounting that the public entities use is much better than the cash, modified cash that we use in departments. So the system is, in fact, the push internationally is to put departments also on the accrual accounting system.
Mm.
Because it's, as I say, it's much more transparent. You can see it repeat. Maybe you and I still, I like cash. You know, because I understand cash. I can work it out in my personal budget. You pay for something, you get something. You only got the money when you get it. But the accrual accounting is much easier. So the reason the reports look like that is because we've never had to ask public entities to report in a different way. But they do have strategic plans. They do have the budget attached to those plans and projects. They just don't report it. They give us those sheets, you know, the cash flow statement of financial performance. But if we decide that we want to do the oversight over them, let's say the first 15, we will start asking them to also give us the information in a format that is more easily understandable. So like Sunrun, we have to give us some project expenditure and not just capital, which is everything. So it's not that they, I think they also get held accountable in that way, because maybe the executive authority will require a little bit more information from them than what they submit to the Treasury, just because they only give the financial information to us. They don't give us non-financial information. Let me get to the chairperson's questions. So with defence, we've had that conversation. Part of the problem, committee members, is that we are judging expenditure against what departments project they will spend. So you're asking them at the beginning of the financial year to tell you how much money they will spend over the next month. And sometimes they miscalculate that. So it's not that it's underspending against what they projected. But so long as when we get to the end of the financial year they've spent all the money, then there shouldn't be a problem. What we expect departments to do is to pay a little bit more attention to that. Because otherwise it raises questions. If you know you've got a capital project, for example, and the capital project is 12 billion rand, you don't say, well, I think I'm going to spend 1 billion, 1 billion, 1 billion. You say, I'm going to do some planning, so I'm going to spend naught in month one, naught in month two, and I'll only start spending in month three. So that's what you expect the department to do. So when they give us the projections, we have an interaction with them, and we ask them these questions. Why do you say you're going to spend this money when we looked last year, your capital expenditure only started in July? Now we think we're going to be optimistic. So ma'am, it's not that there's wrongdoing. It is sometimes the planning is not at the level of detail that would enable them to put down a number that would be the exact number. And so long as it's not 80% Honourable Shaky Mom spoke about, no, Honourable Sekonyan spoke about, if it's 2 or 3%, that seems to be reasonable, but when it's 80%, that is when it's a problem. So as a principle, that's our approach. So for defence, I think they may have underestimated how much money they would have required if you look through what they spent on supplies, issues around Cuban contractors. Mark will talk in detail to the NSPAS. The training for the MNE is
just one more thing before she goes.
You know the problem this committee has with this kind of fluctuating expenditure. We understand your explanation, but the problem we have is, as you say, so long as they spend all the money at the end of the financial year, here is the crunch, which this committee has a problem with. The mismatch between spending and targets achieved, which we see year in and year out with the department. And if you don't monitor that quarterly, you will then have 100% spent at the end of the year and 43% targets achieved. And that's where we really have a problem. And that's why, as you hear, members are asking this question now as you report on the first quarter. How do you then ensure that the targets themselves go along with the spending? If money is overspent, let's see more targets achieved. If it's underspent, let's see less targets being achieved. But then we must have a plan of how we then make up for those targets that are not achieved. That's where we have a problem.
If I may top up, also your cash projections, from where I'm sitting, ma'am, they should be aligned to the APP. They should be aligned to the plan. Because you can't have the first quarter plan without the budget. Obviously, when they... Then this one makes us to say, are we saying if we say there's nothing wrong they are doing if they don't pay, if they don't use their budget in the first quarter? It's okay not to deliver in the first quarter. Are we saying that? Because we are about a service deliver. And if there is proper planning, come 1st of April, because that's when we expect the implementation of the budget of the financial year. They should be, what are they using that budget for? Because they must use it to implement the plan that was adopted also by the House. So I think there must be something, I don't know, maybe this one must be raised with your Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation as well, to say,
yes.
Because in my thinking, they validate the plan.
Yeah.
And if they validate the plan, it means then come the 1st of April, that money should be used. I don't know who assists them to come up with accurate cash projections. I was thinking that maybe, for instance, the treasury within the department should come up with the CFO. Oh yeah, now the CFO. If you have qualified CFOs, I think they will not also work alone. I'm sure they will management team, they will sit with a team to come up, even if it's not accurate, but very close to accurate, you know. But by that, you are going to be making accurate cash flow projections. The cash flow project was cash projection.
Yes.
Cash flow.
They do the projected
expenditure. Cash flow projection. So, now, if we don't have CFOs who can come up with accurate cash flow projections, we have a problem. Because the budget implementation starts from the 1st of April, moving on. So I think if you can help us there, maybe also in your meeting with the provincial treasuries and the CFOs, if you have such a forum, if you can talk about this thing. You can use this as a practical example. I mean, we can't have low expenditure in the first quarter, and we are left with 18 months. We still have quarters where there can be an under expenditure. For now, we expect accelerated plans and accelerated implementation plans. So this one is unacceptable, but I think just that there are too many, this department is too many. At least about six that have overspent, even those are, there's no one that has met a break even. It's either over or under, and there's no one that is complying with the PFMA, which says at least you can overspend by 2%. All of them are over, and then you can underspend by 2%, but all of them are beyond. And others very high, extremely high, 72% under expenditure. It's too much. I think I don't know how we can ensure, I don't know how can this be corrected. I think we'll have to find a way and recommend. Yes, Honourable Member Totten?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to manage it correctly. This is what Ed's point is saying. Well, I think we must appreciate that the BFMA rules are for the full year spend, though. not, they're not necessarily in breach if by the court has been they're not in line with the 2%, etc. And then secondly, the target. I've noticed this often, we speak about the targets aren't being met, etc. There's probably no direct correlation between spend and targets. But it's probably impossible to always for there to be a perfect match. There's going to be a very administrative element that's going to have absolutely nothing to do with targets, but potentially. So, I mean, theoretically, you could spend 100% and come up with 70% of your targets. Or you could spend 50% and achieve 100% of your targets in theory. So, the whole choice of targets and setting the correct targets is the bigger issue. But we should be conscious of the fact that just because we're not spending all our money or we spend more than the money, does not necessarily in itself mean we'll achieve our targets. Because you can spend the money and not achieve your targets.
As long as we all have got the understanding that the targets, you talk about service delivery. So it's not just targets. We want service delivery. We want impact, we want value for money. This committee is for them to look at the new company. You know, and then also compliance. Compliance is. Otherwise, there would be no need for us to get these quarterly reports. Now, in these quarterly reports, we also look for compliance with the PFMA, with your treasury regulations. Compliance. As you perform, you comply. So we must inculcate the culture of A. Yeah. Balancing between performance. I'm trying another, I don't have a better way, but balancing between performance and compliance. In the main, it's compliance. We must respect the law. And we've got to inculcate that culture and must show zero tolerance on wasteful or waste. Okay, I won't say waste because there is no wasteful expenditure. Now, the focus has been on the expenditure in the first quarter. The under expenditure. So which means we must show zero tolerance on the under, which is beyond 2%, and over, which is beyond 2%. That's our work. That's our work. We show zero tolerance. But how do we then achieve on that? It's another story. Maybe you can advise us, because I said, you are actually the friend of the organization. And when I say organization, I'm talking about us. Have you heard about that concept, friends of the organization? So you can also be in the school. Our friend of the committee. So that you can also advise us on the possible solution. Because you've been there for years. You've been there for years. I'm sure you can come up with innovative ways of getting around this problem. It's a problem. This under means they have not delivered. If you can look at it from that end of it. Under means they have not delivered. So it means a lot.
Ma'am, then I think I'll just give Mark an opportunity to answer the specific questions on health and social development. And maybe you just use that as a, also as, even though he's only answering those, as I understand it, would apply to many of the others. Just the processes in the department around how we, what we tell them, what they then do, how we try to help them, etc. And then the acting OCPO can then answer the other question. And then I think I will have covered everybody. Oh no, sorry ma'am. The broadband, I think you asked for the report from us and you'll get that. If you haven't got it already then. On the, when my colleagues were here on the broadband about the capability of CETA to run the project, because I signed a, I know that there's a report because I signed it, and so you'll get that. And then on the digital migration project, the department has chosen that as their model for getting community awareness for how they're going to move from analog to digital. And so unfortunately that would be the items of expenditure. I'm sure that in their cost containment they would have used the guidelines for the procuring of all the services that they've done and that they submit to the OAG on a quarterly basis. Then I think I've covered everything, and then for Mark to do those two questions, and then Willy will do the others, and then you've covered everybody.
Thank you, Chief.
I'll try to be
brief. If I could just make
it's
a
not on. Them. Madame Snoopanyan, what did you do there? Because then you touched something there and then the mic went. So I want to know what did you do there so that we can see.
Yeah. 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 Comments, Chairperson. Firstly, that I think that the committee does face a risk of being overwhelmed now with the spread, with the extension to the public entities. That, you know, really one has this kind of 150-page report on over 50 departments, and now one's got, you know, a huge number of entities. So I think it will be very helpful if the committee can decide which ones they really want to focus on and give guidance in this regard. Because I think also probably then the discussion will be on issues that are of greatest interest to you. Just to say, so we do meet, engage monthly with departments and often with entities as well on their in your monitoring. I'll come back to that in more detail. On the questions, Pavlaza's question about the role of the OCBO, so let me say in health specifically, the OCBO is actually playing a tremendous role. What happened about 5 years ago was that the DG of Health got impatient with the OCBO, and she said she wants to take all the tenders and contracting back into the Department of Health, and they started building capacity in the department. Over those last 2 years, they've completely changed their mind. In fact, almost all the tenders are now back to OCBO. The DG of Health is wanting to shift all her procurement staff back to the OCBO. The OCBO has now been talking in all our provincial forums about all the big tenders in health. So almost all of them have come back to the OCBO. There's something like 65 different health tenders of Zimbabwe and growing. So a great piece of work being done actually on expanding the work of the OCBO in the health tenders. And getting some very good prices actually through the national transversal tendering. It's one of the most potentially best ways of actually saving money through these national transversal tenders, because when each clinic or each hospital orders, they tend to get much higher prices. So if I can say that, you know, I hear the committee's concerns about the overall low spending, which is I think about 8 billion overall for all the departments by the end of the first quarter, but I think one does also need to keep in mind that, you know, many, because it's only the first quarter, many departments do tend to hold, you know, they tend to still have invoices that they're settling, and so, you know, a lot of those, by the end of the second quarter, I think one will see a lot of that spending catching up. In both health and social development, the departments are within the ceiling, so whereas then, you know, they might in one or two areas have perhaps paid something slightly earlier. In general, they are within their ceiling. We have done quite a lot of work with social development in particular, but also to some extent with health on late transfers. So we've actually developed a guidance notes on management of funds to NGOs, which we've been engaging with Accountant General on, because we want to put it out as some kind of guidance note or ultimately maybe a practice note. Because we have been very concerned with these late payments. And, you know, the fact that, for example, health continues to delay in transferring 50 million to HIV/AIDS NGOs, and by the end of the first quarter they haven't transferred, is a concern. And that's also why we raise it here, because, you know, we do take it up in our regular correspondence and meetings with the department, but it's things we would like this committee also to emphasize in the engagement with departments. Similarly on the NSFAS, you know, I mean, the fact that the social development sector did have a big strike of social workers staff, as you know, in the first quarter of the year, which occupied them a lot, and also delayed the provinces in taking on the new social work students and so on. And then in their signing of the MOU with the NSFAS to May. But all of these things are not really good reasons. I mean, you know, these kinds of things do relate, do require earlier planning. We push them in our engagements, and we would hope that, this committee also pushes the departments when you meet with them to get these cycles happening much earlier. Chairperson, I also would like to say that the Treasury itself is also subject to these personnel caps and cost-saving measures and so on and so forth. And there are quite a number of posts even in the Treasury that are not filled. An average department, I mean, like, for example, if you look at the health department or the social development department, which I manage, but it's even worse for many of the other departments. So these are departments that have staff of, for example, 1,000 or 2,000 staff, and they have financial sections of, say, 80 staff. You tend to find, you know, in this division that Julia is heading, that there's maybe one or two staff members who's managing a department. So, you know, just think about that when you're thinking about the capacity. You know, you've got a small team of one or two or three people who are dealing with a department of 2,000 people, or a sector of 200,000 people. You know, the Treasury also is quite under-resourced potentially in its own way. And, you know, one needs to think also about the spirit of the PFMA, which asks departments to manage. And it puts those staff in the departments, and it gives them the responsibility to manage. So yes, we tell departments, you know, you're not doing this right, you should do this. But, you know, you need to think also where the relative staff numbers are, the relative PFMA powers are. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I think that's all except for the, if Willy wants to just answer the question on the, how does the OCPO help with procurement in departments? And then on the triple PFA itself, how does that give effect to getting small businesses and cooperatives to also be able to access government contracts?
Okay, I just want to find out from you, so you said you are developing a practice note for the transfers from the NGOs. And for how long have you had this problem? And you only developing it now. Really, why today? Is it because of maybe personnel that you didn't have? Because it's an old problem. So you're only developing it now. Why, we like the initiative, but why so late? But also on the social, I think it's the unemployed social workers budget. Remember it was announced in the adjustment, appropriation adjustment of 2015-16. Eh? 15, yes. So which means from that time, the department should have started planning for this 2016-17. It was pronounced then. So you see, this thing of delaying in acting or delaying in, I don't know how to put it, but there's delaying everything. I think it's a matter of, it's an attitude issue. I don't know how we can sensitize departments or whoever, you know, to act, but they must act now. Because the Constitution, I think it's chapter 10 of the Constitution that addresses administration issues. It also talks about timeliest intervention, timeliest in administration. So it's also a constitutional matter. If people don't act on time, so they are violating the Constitution as well. Chapter 10 talks about timeliest accurate information and timeliest intervention in administration. So I think if we can just find a way of improving in these areas, you know, because also I see also the department has also underspent. The department, Treasury has also underspent some programs. Am I right or wrong? And then how do you then tell others not to underspend when you are understanding yourself? That's an issue.
I remember I have the English thought of writing the same letter that I write to other departments, to the DG of the National Treasury, signed by me. the person that reports to him saying, please, we notice that you're not spending on these items, please can you? And the colleague, I think you've met her, Jillian, she actually will call him to order on the matter. So they get the National Treasury gets the same treatment as every other department gets from public finance. There's no special favours because we're in the same building.
My question was, what do you do about those people who do not pay? My question is, should we give them that example? I think that's what I mean. That's what's the issue now. Should we by example so that others can follow? Because if you don't give by example, how are you going to tell the other departments to improve if you yourself, you know, are doing the same wrong thing? In terms of the PFMA. Not that I'm doing the PFMA, any other expenditure. But it's fine. Alright, shall we then move on to the OCPO? Is it the presentation?
Would it be fine if Dr. Bichon and myself are here?
Yeah, yes. But you did not, okay, the MFR, you responded.
Yes.
It's not about the delay, it's about the service. How do we impact on the service? Now this one is a student fund. Sure, you don't want the children to hear this. You'll be so much in trouble.
No, and as I understand it, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, because it's a public entity, it has money in its bank account to undertake the services that it requires. It just means that they would have to top up once they get the NSFAS payment from social development. It's not that the service hasn't been delivered. Whoever's been accepted as a social work student, their tuition and all of that has been paid. Is that how they do it, Mark?
Yes, Chair. So this is a top-up, a small top-up on the big NSFAS. This is for the social work students, and it's some additional social work students for which social development gives top-up. I don't know why they've had a delay in signing the MOU with NSFAS this year, but Chair, again, you know, I think that these are issues that we will take up further with the department, but also, you know, the committee needs to take up with the department because it's the department that is maybe slow on making their payments.
Yeah. Just one small matter, Chairperson. I noticed that the entities are reporting on the 15-16 financial year. If we could at some point be favoured with the 16-17 report, so that we can make a comparison. That's one. Two, I just wanted to check if do they also provide quarterly reports, or you just take the financial year report from them? I know that could be a very huge task, but just for information.
The reason we didn't use 16-17 is because the 16-17 year has just ended, so the audited financial statements for annual reports only come out now, and I wanted to do the exercise, so that's why. It was just for illustrative purposes. But we can do, if that will help the committee make a decision, that's a good idea. We look at what they did the previous year and then we see if it's the same top 20 in all of them. And that could be done. But then we need to set a date for when we want to have the workshop.
No, that's fine. The last one from me before you leave. We spoke about the Cabinet resolution on the restructuring of the SOEs. Now, who is responsible for taking this resolution or developing an action plan after the resolution? Is it the Department? Is it National Treasury?
No, it's not the National Treasury. The Deputy President is in charge of the IMC on that, and so it would be the Technical Committee that supports. But I will check who that is now. And then indicate that the committee requires a report, and then I'll tell them who that is and whom the the request can be sent to. Remember, those are just two entities, the big ones, Transnet, Eskom, etc. They're not the smaller museums and stuff like that.
Yeah. If we can get a progress report on this one, but it means we will not be able to get it from you, am I right?
No.
Okay. Yeah. The progress report,
I think, on the 3A's in the budget process, that one, the one that received transfers, that I will give you when I come for the second quarter, which will be October, November.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when can we also get a progress report on the practice note on the transfer to NGO?
I think that it's with the Accountant General, so I think we need to follow up with the Accountant General on that.
Yeah. If we can get a progress report, it's going to help. It's going to bring about a change in this area of work. Even this one will help with regards to giving the taxpayers money effectively and efficiently, the reconfiguration of the SOE, NESPAS. I think NESPAS, this one is serious. It's not for topping up, it's for increasing the number of people who are registered with the universities to study as social workers. Not the total, increase the number. And that's the service delivery we're looking at. But thank you very much. Indeed, you have been very helpful in terms of information, and this information is definitely going to assist us to carry out our oversight effectively. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sorry I took up so much of the day. You've got lots of other things in. Given the committee enough information for you to make your choices of who you want to be. Thank you.
In all the departments, we're ready, actually. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Shall we then quickly get the... Is nobody in the speaker? She left. And she's coming back. Okay. Shall we then quickly get the presentation on the... I think what will help is the job fund. I'm sure you've got a summary. Presentation on the job fund, and then we will then get the presentation on the update on the IFMS, am I right? Update, and then also an update on the 30 days payment, a summary, high level summary of the proximity report.
All in 14 minutes.
Come again?
All in 14 minutes.
In 14?
14.
What do you mean? Can you advise me what do you want us to do now? Alright, on the 30 days payment. Maybe that report is very simple and gives us information. Do you want us to take it, distribute it, and do this on our own? Or what do you want? There are three presentations. Can the committee quickly guide me because we don't have time? Job fund, update on IFMS, update on the 30 days payment. If you can assist me. Can we sacrifice up till 12:30? All right. I see I'm not getting a response. I'm not getting a response, I'm going to ask them to proceed with the presentation.
Now let me propose, Chair. Like you said, this
30 days payment is a very kind of straightforward thing. It's something that we can read for ourselves and then engage with the relevant department.
Okay. Are you satisfied with the manner in which you want to treat your 30 day payment report? Okay, but thank you so much for providing us with that still enriching our knowledge base so that we can engage. manage and effectively and efficiently the department in the 30-day period. But our proposal would be, can this report be taken to cabinet? To me, if you take it to cabinet, it will, you take it there for awareness by cabinet in the presence of all the role players, and also there will be a cabinet resolution on how we should put, you must give this, the, I don't know how much, you must, yeah, I think the report has got the total amount of, and the number of, you know, departments that have not complied, and the total amount that is involved in this failure to pay within 30 days, and the impact that it is making to service delivery, and also impact it's making in the inclusive economic growth. Okay, so if you can take it, that will be our recommendation.
Yeah.
You must take it to cabinet so that you know, they can, yeah, all right, to get the cabinet attention. Yes.
Just one question, what's the period of this report?
Come again?
What period was this report written over? Was it said invoices paid after 30 days, not paid, as it went? Was this, is it the last financial year end, or is it now, when is the period?
Give the age of the, you know, the outstanding payment.
Thank you, Chair. You notice in, the, in this presentation, for invoices paid after 30 days, we listed a period from April to June, so it's 3 months, April, May, June. But for invoices that have not been paid, or 30 days are not paid, it's as at the end of June.
Okay.
Thank you.
But is it in the report?
Yes.
Captured in the report. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, we're not getting the presentation. As we read, we will come, you know, to understand all those things. I think they've been reflected.
That's not in there.
It's not in there.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Now, if it's not in there, now you know the expectation by the committee. Just update it. The age or the history of the non-payment within 30 days and resubmit when we have in that information. Okay, so then it means we will then get a presentation on the two. Am I right?
Yes.
IMF. Yes, ma'am?
The Chair, I thought the proposal that we read is fine, but perhaps after reading, we can then identify areas that we need further clarification, and we can submit to the National Treasury, and then they can respond.
Maybe on the job fund,
but
not
may not
the
be just that one thing, isn't it?
But the IFMS is a hot potato. You can't do one bill to present to us so that we can also interrogate. Ma? It's in the back, the IFMS.
Then submit whatever we think should be here. That is not fair.
Okay. All right. If I understand you correctly, let's also not get a progress report on the IFMS. Am I understanding you correctly? It is attached to that report on the 30 days payment. It is at the end. Towards the end. Am I right? IFMS?
It's part of the job fund.
Oh, it's part of the job fund. Yes? IFMS. Help us there. IFMS? Madam, IFMS?
No, I'm with the job fund now.
IFMS? And it's attached to the 30 days payment, am I right?
Yeah.
Report. I saw you.
No. Oh, because it's payment.
Or annexure B of
the. Or annexure. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Shall we get the IFMS, IFMS, yes, report, and then. Can you give us a summary of the, you know, summarized version of your job fund report? Yes. Okay. Okay. Shall we then proceed? Let's take the job fund and then the IFMS. Then I think we will then close, even if we don't interrogate these reports, because this is for information sharing. And then if we need further details, we can then write to the department to say, can you elaborate on this? Okay?
Still good morning.
Yes,
good morning to the committee. I just want to get clarity. So we distributed this MHRA, right, that talks to the job fund, but there's also a detailed presentation on the job fund that provides the background. You will take that on your own and then ask us questions. So just in briefly, Matt, on the jobs fund, when you look at Annexure A on the first page and you look at our performance indicators for 2017-18, what we are saying to you is that what you're looking at here is the indicators for when we run a funding round. So these are what we intend to do for this year, and the funding round normally runs over 9 months. So when I looked at this and the way this was sent, because I didn't see how this was sent to you, I thought this looked rather rude. Because why would we write they're not applicable in things? But the reason for that is because the job fund runs on challenge fund principles. We open up we issue a call for proposals, and then we have a really hard closing date for those proposals, and then we go through a process of assessing those proposals. And that process takes us about between 9 and 10 months to assess those proposals. So we can only actually report annual performance on what we are going to be contracting in a new funding round. Be that as it may, on the next page, there was actually just cumulative performance for the year 2016-17. So let me just say briefly, what are we intending for this financial year, 2017-18? In respect of our indicator 8.4.1 on the first page, we anticipate that we're going to be contracting with another 15 additional projects. We on indicator 8.4.2, we anticipate that we're going to approve another 700 million rand in grants. On indicator 8.4.3, we are targeting to leverage another 700 million from our project partners. So just a little background, with the jobs fund, it's a matched grant. So if we make available 700 million to projects, we expect our project partners to match us on a one-to-one basis. And that is how the jobs fund grant is a little bit different to other grants, in that we actually leverage additional money towards job creation from our project partners. On our indicator 8.4.4, we anticipate that we're going to contract for another 14,000 new permanent jobs. Again, this is how the job fund is slightly different from EPWP and community works programs. We complement this program, but the jobs that are created through the jobs fund are sustainable jobs. And when we say new permanent jobs, it means that those jobs didn't exist before. So for example, through our enterprise development window, as we support businesses and enterprises, and those enterprises grow make a profit, they are able to then appoint more people, and that is then how we baseline. So if we're going to support the enterprise, we will baseline, we'll understand how many jobs they currently have, and through the Jobs Fund grant, how many new jobs do we stimulate by providing that money. So those are what we anticipate, that at the end of this funding round, through the applications we receive, we'll be able to catalyze another 14,000 new permanent jobs. And then on indicator 8.4.5, we also anticipate contracting another 30,000 placements. Now the placements are slightly different. I spoke about the new jobs that are created through the growth of enterprises. We also all know that we have a mismatch between the kind of skills that industry requires and what is produced through our education system. So in our funding window that is called the Support for Work Seekers funding window, we improve the match, the skills match between unemployed people and what industry is looking for. So that actually says that there are 30,000 vacant positions, and through the work that we do with our projects, we will fill those vacant positions through improving the match. And then on indicator 8.4.6, we anticipate that within, when we close this funding round, we would have contracted for another 67,000 training interventions by our project partners. And then on indicator 8.4.7, which talks to the value of grants that we anticipate we are going to disburse in this financial year, we think that we would be disbursing in the region of 574 million rand towards grants. A little bit of background on that. How do we get to this number? This number is actually informed by the cash flow projections that our projects provide to us. So when we submit a budget or a cash flow projection or expenditure projection to the budget office and to public finance, what we do is for all those projects that have contracted with us, every single project has a very detailed project plan. So if a project lasts for 3 years, they would anticipate what they are going to be requiring for every quarter over the 3 year implementation period. We then roll that up, and that is how we get to that, to the disbursement number that we submit. And then on the last indicator, on 8.4.8, we talk about our agenda around learning and knowledge dissemination. Our learning forum is scheduled for November. And in respect of the research that we support, that includes, it's a project called Ready 3x3, and I'm sure members have seen in the Business Day many articles recently appearing, and that is actually the outcome of the research that we've supported. And so for this year, we will have a synthesis paper that brings together the three areas of research which covered inclusive growth, income distribution, and employment and unemployment. So, in a nutshell, that is what our plan looks like for this year.
Just
finish. So, are we done with the jobs fund?
Yeah.
All right.
I have to end this time.
Okay. If I may, sir,
yeah.
I just wanted to say to you that if you look at our presentation on slide 9, it just gives you a nice indication of, since the inception of the fund, where are we? So from day one to now, this is what we've achieved today.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Honourable members, I'm sure you, at least you have... you are happy you have this report, and if there are clarification questions, you can ask, and then this is for our information.
I like the work that I do. And so I just want to say, for the members, you know, we've got 117 projects in our portfolio. And if any of the members would like to visit those projects, can actually see what is happening on the ground. We give you a little taste of it at the end of our presentation. Please just let us know. We're happy to take you and see the work that we do.
Okay. And you are saying there is no under expenditure on this program.
So, ma'am, while you were out, I was explaining that in what the indicators that you see here is what we anticipate we are going to achieve through this funding round. We have an open call for proposals, and that really means that anybody in the country can submit a proposal, anybody who has a good idea for job creation, but it's a competition. And then we assess all the projects against our impact criteria, which is around innovation, sustainability, value for money. Once we've gone through that process, an external committee would then make a decision as to which projects are best aligned to the objectives of the fund. So we anticipate that with this funding round, which is now closed, and we would finalize the assessment of that by February next year, this is what we will achieve for this current financial year.
No, that's fine. Thank you then. Shall we then move on to the IMFS report?
IMFS.
Okay, thank you.
think so that members can ask questions. I think we're making good progress. I think by 1:30 we'll be done.
Okay, thank you, honorable members. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Ilam Sagaza. I am the acting chief director IFMS as of the 1st of September, 27, last week Friday afternoon. So that's the date. I got the appointment late. So I decided, I have agreed to catch this hot potato. I have been serving as a director within the office of the IFMS Chief Directorate, responsible for operations, but as of the 1st of September, I'm now the acting chief director of the Integrated Financial Management System. Okay, it's still in the morning, still in the dawn. It's still in the dawn. We haven't even brushed our teeth as yet. So by the time I got the appointment letter, the DG and the minister were flying to China. So I haven't even been afforded an opportunity as yet to actually deal with our internal matters, administrative matters, with regard to the program. Okay, but I also received this invitation last week, and I gave it a priority, and I felt it is important of me to come and present our financial information before this parliament. I might not be able to give you an to articulate on certain aspects, because like I'm saying, I only took office last week Friday, so the handover has not yet happened, but because I had an insight of what transpired in the Chief Directorate at Treasury, but I think I'm in a position to give you the status in terms of financial performance and non-financial performance today. Okay, let me begin by saying we have underspent in the first quarter due to the following reasons. I think you would understand that there are investigations, as the minister has alluded to, at SCOPA on the 29th of August. So there are lots of internal investigations that are taking place at the moment. To that effect, many invoices are put on hold. So this is one of the reasons we are underspending. And they are put on hold pending the results of the forensic investigations that are currently underway. And I must also mention that
we have experienced some challenges as well in terms of approval dates, you know, for us to commence with the phase two of the project due to non-availability of relevant stakeholders when necessary. I think that could be one of the reasons for underspending. And also I must mention that part of the first quarter as well, we have spent quite a significant amount on IFMS 1, which also reflects on this report, which refers to the IFMS 1 systems that are currently running at DPSA and Oracle. As you can see, they are under software support and maintenance. And there was also an advanced payment as per the settlement agreement with ICTWorks, which was paid with the agreement that the monies will be paid back 5% from each and every invoice, so that make sure that advance is fully paid up. So those were the conditions of that settlement agreement with those contracts. And if you look at the variance, if you look at comparisons against 2015, 16 and 16 and 17, I must admit that poor planning is the problem. And if you look at the budget of 2015, the 180 million there, we have overperformed because we had to, if I may go back, we had to spend some of the monies on software licenses, which is 394 million there, and yet the budget allocation was 108. So there were those issues with regards to that expenditure there. We have actually overperformed. So those are the reasons that emanate due to poor performance, poor planning, But going forward, in terms of improving that situation, we are planning to take a different approach as far as budgeting is concerned, because the tradition is being a top-up budgeting approach, but now we want to take a bottom-up approach and identify needs of the project that financial year, rather than put them in an annual performance plan, so that we can have a good projected expenditure on a quarterly basis. So those are one of the things we want to put in place going forward. And then in terms of non-financial performance, we have implemented some program stage. Remember, we bought software licenses last year from Oracle, and we spent that significant amount. So now we have had an approved implementation approach, which is supported by a high-level program stage, that is from 2017 up until 2019. So that's the approval we had from our program steering committee meeting. And then we also finalized the 9 PMO governance strategies, because we are a project, we need some governing frameworks in place, and they've been reviewed and BQA by our internal auditing structure. And then we have also developed some structural governing structures for the project, like your business owners committee, your design authority, to make sure that, because we are implementing this integrated financial management system, to make sure that policy decisions, process decisions that affect business, because business are the drivers of this project. It cannot be successful without that stakeholder. So now we kind of implementing those structures so that we can deliver this system in a more integrated approach. We have also established the design authority from a technical point of view, risk committee and communication committee, because It also talks to deals with issue of stakeholders. This program is really taken off from a stakeholder by in point of view. I'm talking industry. We are painted as if we are not taking this program seriously. As a result, business is very reluctant to do business with government. And also from a government stakeholder as well, departments are very, we just don't have buy-in. Departments, we get requests on it from time to time, departments wanting to implement their systems because they don't believe that IFMS will happen. We've also established the document and knowledge repository for the program from a knowledge management point of view. And then we've also secured funding over the MTF and created that dedicated financial management capacity for the program. And I must mention that the pilot site has been agreed by Treasury and DPSA, and then they will happen. And also the lead sites will still maintain Western Cape and Eastern Cape, which is two provincial departments, will act as the lead sites after the pilot implementation is complete. And then in terms of making sure that we meet the ICT House of Values, you know, that was the framework that DPSA has developed. We are also in a process of developing a costing model with the state information technology of the IFMS, getting an understanding of what is the current spending on the legacy systems.
So the document, when to make some notes?
Have you circulated the document? Because we saw the annex chapter.
With the...
Have you circulated
the presentation?
Yes.
I thought it was part of the pack.
No. It's not.
There's
it's
everything
not.
Else except that of...
No. Okay, sorry, I will...
Yeah, but
I was under the impression that our colleagues consulted because we were asking send presentations to one person and then sorry, I was under the impression it's part of the thing.
Okay, obviously we don't have the document. Shall we allow him and then you send the document?
I will email it.
Circulated to members.
Yes, thank you.
How far are you from?
I'm almost done.
Okay.
I'm almost done. So we need that costing model because we need to bring the IT cost down. So we need that view in terms of understanding how much government is spending on the current legacy system vis-a-vis the IFMS that we'll be implementing. Are we going to achieve any cost savings? So that's the kind of view we don't have, but it's something that we are working on at the moment. And also there was a negotiation on termination and settlement of contracts that emanated from the IFMS one. I think that's the end of my presentation. I will make sure I circulate to the members.
Okay, honourable members, we ask for a progress report with regard to your IFMS integrated finance. Yeah, I've got to try this time. Keeping IFMS. So the point is in your hands. Any clarity seeking question?
It's very difficult, Chairperson. We don't have photographic memory. We're talking about figures. Maybe at least if it was emailed so that I can check. I can't remember all the figures that he has said.
Okay.
So can it be sent to our
I said it should be sent, it should be circulated to members. For now, I'm looking for clarity seeking questions, if there are any. Honourable Member Chopin.
Madam Chair, if you look at the financial side, that's not really a problem. So I presume that the entire complaint about this project is that it just hasn't rolled out. That's the crux of the matter. It hasn't been implemented after a number of years. That's what the complaint is. So I know your last slide, you touched on it. When will this be implemented? And what are the holdups right now for the implementation of the project?
Yes, very reluctant to give you the exact date in terms of when will it be implemented, because we haven't even been given a formal mandate by our DG in terms of what to do to turn this project around. Yes, we agree, there needs to be a turnaround. In my view, I have an internal insight. We have lost enough time already. I'm talking this financial year. Due to some issues that I'm also not at liberty to disclose in front of this committee at the moment until I engage my acting accountant general and the DDG, because there are serious issues. And I also did mention that there are investigations that are happening at the moment, forensic investigations. And I can commit that by the end of this month, some of those investigations internally, which are linked to payments, I think they will be complete. So I think after all those processes are exhausted, I think therefore we will relook into the project. We will do re-baseline. Yes, I believe there needs to be a turnaround of some sort. Whether it's going a turnaround which is going to turn 60 or 90 degrees or 180, but there needs to be a turnaround. So in terms of implementation targets, I am not at, I cannot give you that answer at the moment until all these internal processes are exhausted. But I can mention you that we have service providers on board in our project management offices. The work is happening at the moment. We have acquired infrastructure, hosting infrastructure at CETA. The prototype is being implemented at the moment. I'm talking the demo version of the ERP system, so that the business streams and other related streams can commence working with the with design work. But in terms of timelines, we need to re-baseline after we have agreed with our DG on a turnaround strategy for this program. I hope that satisfies your question.
Okay, Honorable Member Schopestrole, we are on clarity seeking question. And then Honorable Member Baba.
Chairperson, since that a Treasury has explained that they haven't had time for
switch off, yeah?
For handover. Since that they haven't actually had time for handover, I think it's quite unfair for us to be asking him questions. Let's give him time and reschedule a meeting so that we come here prepared, so that we are not just conducting a ritual, but we are being effective in our. As it is, you know, we are being unfair. He hasn't put his feet on the ground yet. Let's be fair.
Honourable Member Gobanza.
Yeah, Chairperson. We asked for the update on this thing. And I want to suggest that we probably were misunderstood. Genuinely or deliberately misunderstood. Because work has been going on the investigations and all that kind of stuff. And that's why I deliberately used this word, that this department must spill it all to us as they are doing to the media. Because that information that is going, doing the rounds in the media, comes from inside that department. They must spill it to us, so that we don't grab get this thing piecemeal from the media. We get it from the department itself. What they are telling the media, they must tell it to the Committee of Parliament called the Standing Committee on Appropriations. Because we appropriate these funds, we approve their budget, we conduct oversight, and they are not telling us the story. But they are telling it to the media. So we can't be undercut. See? Now they set up this gentleman who got appointed this morning. You see? To come and tell us he hasn't found his feet. I'm not undermining him. And then he gets set up to come and tell us this story. So we have no connection between what we have heard up to now and how the department has now shifted the gear. We have no connection. We can't even get the gear shift from here so that we make this correct connection. It would be premature, I agree with Honorable Shopperstone, it would be premature to start asking questions. Because we must link this from the time it started to where everything spilled out into the public space. And we called them in to tell us what was going on. And then take us across the bridge as they cross from the disaster to what they think is a turnaround strategy. So I'm definitely not pleased with this kind of treatment of the committee on this particular matter.
No, that's fine.
Well, in all fairness, we were respected. But then what we are saying is that the report that we're getting is not good enough to assist us to move, because there was a first presentation. And in that presentation, we resolved that the department goes back, yeah, and give us a full report. But we also said, we need the the updated one. We need the report from the forensic audit, because we were told that the present one, there were concerns raised about the present one, which is Deloitte.
Yeah.
And then you're going to appoint a new one. And then we then said we are interested in the report. But now we also see that we are delaying also in appointing the new. You see, they keep shifting this thing and you're not treating it like it's something that needs immediate attention. So, yeah, I think that's the report that we said we were expecting. And then we called you, we were told you are not ready. And even now, this is for the second time that we call you. We called you first and then second time, this is the third time that we call you and you still do not get the report. I don't think it's fair on our side. It looks like we're wasting our time, but we mean business. We really want that report, and so that we can interrogate it. It's true. We cannot be getting this report through the media. It doesn't sound correct. So we need to get it from you. It must be, really prepared with that report, so that we can satisfy ourselves and be able to make certain recommendations that will be ratified by the House. But with this piecemeal approach, it's not helping us. So it's not helping us. And I hope you understand what you inherited.
No, it's noted.
Yeah.
Okay. Next time I'll make sure.
Yeah, okay.
Those are the requirements are addressed.
All right. No, that's fine. No question? Okay, thank you so much. We think we'll see you in our next meeting. Otherwise, we have the information in the documents that were circulated in assistance.
it will be up to us now to read those documents and we'll be able to interrogate and be very much relevant in our interrogation of the department that will be coming before us. Thank you very much.
I just want to say that although there are new appointees, there is nothing that stops this committee to demand the presence of the old people here, according to the Constitution. Although he will come in his new capacity, but when we want to delve deep into the facts, we do have the right, according to the Constitution, to call those who are responsible.
Actually, I think you're just standing in the gap. The
HOD, the DG is not here. It's the DG who accounts. Mm-hmm. The accounting officer. You account to the DG, and the DG accounts to the minister. And the minister can delegate to the DG to come and account on his behalf here. Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you very much. All right, thank you so much. We would like to release you. OCTO. We will engage you not very long. I think in the next meeting we really would like you to come because we do have issues, but we want you to present to us on how your office is working, because some of the departments that we met, they said we are not helping them, but there are those who say you are helping them. So I want you to assist us to understand, because I know it's Transnet, they didn't feel help, but small Department of Small Business,
Water
and Sanitation said they're not helped.
No, they are helped.
They're helped.
Yeah.
So you see that contradiction. We want you to assist us because we don't want to, to have this contradiction, isn't it? When government delivers us a service, it must be in the best interest of the country. There must not be a contradiction. It must be a straightforward service for all those who are supposed to benefit. And okay, thank you very much. You are excused. Thanks for coming. Nomfusi, over to you, Ma. We have invited Nomfusi to come and brief us on the site visit. Presenting to us now about the site visit, please. Shall we give her our attention?
Good day, members. About the oversight to KZN, the financial application is approved. I just received the approval now. And I was busy with the warrants, forwarding them to the travel agent so that the e-tickets will be forwarded to members, I think after 2 hours or after an hour, it's depending to the travel agent who's assisting us. The route for Mrs. Posa, the members who are traveling is Mrs. Posa, Mr. Chwabanza, Mrs. Sithole has cancelled, Mr. McLaughlin, and Mr. NLS Kwangwa is also traveling with the team, and Mr. Imam has also cancelled. Mrs. Posa is traveling from Mpumalanga, connecting in Joburg. You will travel ma on Sunday, then you will sleep over in OR Tambo and travel in the morning to Durban on Monday. You'll return on Friday, but on Friday you are not connecting because we're having earlier flights in Durban. You will travel straight to Mbombo. Yes. Mr. Chwabanza is Cape Town, Durban, and he's returning on Monday morning. Mama Snokonyane is also Durban, is also Joburg, Durban, and returning to Joburg again. Mr. McLaughlin is also the same route with Mrs. Nokonyane. Mr. Kwangwa is Cape Town, Durban, returning to Cape Town again. I've arranged a transport for Mr. Chabaza to pick him up at the truck on Monday. Mr. Chabaza will communicate about the time. Now I'm rushing to the members' facilities to submit the SNPs for the members so that they can be processed, because the approval, I've just received it now, 30 minutes ago. On Monday, I've asked the travel agent that all the delegation must be in Durban before 1, so that we can travel from Durban at 1 o'clock to Joburg, because it's 3 hours drive. So we have to give the members chance to rest in the hotel after the travel. And protection services guys are here with us. They are traveling on Sunday. They'll be in Durban on Sunday, then we'll meet them in the airport. And one of the guys is going to communicate with the lieutenant, I don't know the name, on that side. They are going to accompany us, their staff on that side. On Monday we are sleeping in Ijozin. Then we will travel from Ijozin to Richards Bay. And in Richards Bay, we are sleeping in Protea Hotel, waterfront. And the next day we are sleeping over in Pietermaritzburg in Southern Sun. And on the last day we are sleeping over in Durban on Thursday evening. Then in the morning in Durban at 8:30 until 11, there's a meeting for the briefing of the committee. I've booked a venue there. After that we will travel to the airport to return to our home. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and then Darren, can you talk
about yourself? Thank you, Nampusi. She has spoken to the program now, but I just needed to inform members that all the stakeholders have been informed. So far, it seems like everybody's on board, the national as well as the provincial departments. SAGA was also invited. We've informed all the district municipalities as well as the local municipalities. In terms of the program, I've emailed the program yesterday to all the members. We are going to prepare all the information packs for members today, but we'll only be able to give it at the airport when we arrive, either in Durban, I think in Durban, yes. So the program is fairly straightforward, Chairperson. Nomfuse has spoken to it. On Tuesday, we are going to the Jazaini Health Center. From there, we are going to Pongola Port Bulk Water Scheme, and then we travel to, we have lunch, and then we travel to Richards Bay. The following day, Ngwele Zane Hospital. Thereafter, we go to Greater Umthonzaneni Bulk Water Scheme. After that, we go to Mapumulo to visit the Nwebo Bulk Water Supply Scheme. On Thursday, we travel from Pietermaritzburg, we go to Umswati Bulk Water Scheme. Then we go back to Pietermaritzburg to visit the Grace Hospital, NHISAT. From there we go to Durban, sleep in Durban. The next morning we'll have a debriefing session at the hotel before we depart for our various provinces. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, honourable members, are you happy with this program?
Yeah, happy.
And we have a debriefing on the last day.
Yes.
We're not supposed to get a debriefing at the end of the day, so that your work does not pile up. End of the day, like for instance today, maybe tell you the following morning before we start, just to get a debriefing. Next one.
Chair, it's up to the committee. We can have the debriefing in the afternoon after we return from Pietermaritzburg Hospital. But we just thought that in order to give the support staff time, because that debriefing session is going to be an internal session, it's not going to be with stakeholders. That's where we're going to discuss what we've seen and identify all the areas to be highlighted in the report. So that when we come back to consider the report, the members already have an idea as to what to expect. We did it in our previous oversight visit. Unfortunately, we were still with my education, and it worked for us, Chair. Thank you.
There's nothing wrong in me bringing in new information.
can't tell about the past. Yeah, moving forward. Okay, no, that's fine. All right, Honourable Members, are you happy with a debriefing at the end of the program or in between? So to assist them to compile the report.
Yeah, okay.
Fine at the end. Okay. So what will they be doing? Touring?
Who?
Them.
So they're preparing the report every day.
Updating
as we.
Once we want value for money with everybody, even with ourselves, it starts here. The past, you know, it doesn't stop here. We start here, you know, with value for money.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
No, that's fine. So if you don't have further questions,
just the chairperson.
Okay.
The members who are traveling again, is it the chairperson, Honorable Snokwanyana, Honorable McLachlan, Honorable Kwankwa, and Chwabaz. It's the five of us.
The five.
Okay.
Mm. And then you must quickly inform, you see, where they have authorized. Remember, there was a circular that says, if members don't go after, you know, the approval, it means members will have to pay back that money. So you must quickly deal with it now, because they were supposed to indicate before the approval. So once this thing is approved, then you must go back and inform them today that it's only five members that are going. Otherwise, the members will be made to pay the money. You know? Mm. Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you so much. It's a weekend. It's going to be a weekend.
I just wanted to wish you luck. I wanted to go with you. I'm not well. I really wanted to go, but my doctor advised me not to do that.
Okay, thank you so much. So we meet on Sunday.
Monday morning.
Monday when you're flying from Mpumalanga to Joburg. Yeah.
Then
Joburg.
You go over to Joburg.
Yeah.
We travel to Monday.
Monday, what time? What time are we traveling on Monday? Goes on to check it. Okay, you'll inform me over the phone. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your participation, and indeed we've had, especially from the first presenters, very interesting. And then what is remaining now, the researchers together with the content advisor. Yeah? Maybe we must also give it to the PBO. They must look at this the document on the public entities and assist us to choose to identify those that we would want to prioritize in our work. And you must know what it means. Right? It means additional work. So which means members must gear themselves up and must be available for this work. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, man. We're feeling safe in your hands. Okay, well, see you there. Okay, Sunday. Thanks. But Maronay is on it.
Yeah.
We have asked for this work. They have given us. But here, you can't give us. In the identification of the prioritized entities, you can't, because we're starting, eh? We can't go wild and say 10, because you must remember it will be 10 in addition to already our departments that we will be seeing. That's all right. So I think the researcher, can you please respond? The researchers working with the, please look at, assist us and recommend. And when you come to us, you know, you come with a recommendation. So it will be up to these members to agree or disagree with your recommendation. Adopt or make some changes in your recommendation. So it's recommendations to the committee. Okay. Thank you so much. The approach on entities.
Yeah.
The lake needs to be thoroughly processed. The first proposal must be tabled to the management. And then what does it mean? After the site visit, is it the end of... Is it the
constituents?
Constituents. Constituency period. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay,
so
then.
So you will miss the chain?
No, I miss the work. Not you. The work. The work.
I'll miss you.
Okay. So that's fine. Okay. Let me correct. I'll miss both you and the work.
helping me to connect. The meeting starts
okay.
at 10. But Ning promised that we'll be available for this work. Please be available for this work. Something else to ask Ning here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's beginning to be a problem.
How did she inspire the tradition to create her own language to serve against the APP, and how do you get a ratio over a quarter?
How many entities do you think, Baba, we can look at? Well, among the 15, lad. Well, among the 15, but with the 15, you know which other entities that South Africa is there? Who is it? They reported to us. The SETA. SETA. They must give us. Yeah, what? Yeah. But they will then do the work. Yeah, what? The SETA. Oh, yeah, one of the surplus. The 15th.
Yeah. Higher Education Commission does that, and in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want treasure.
The approach here to each different treasury and
because I'm looking at the departments, the number of departments,
just
and the number of having employees. That's why the time spent.
That's why we are struggling.
We already have the time.
That's why we are struggling.
That we have proposed.
Because
and now, obviously, we were not able to get the information that we have came with.
Yes, I know. We started
now,
very well.
Now, what would be the approximate?
I don't know what's going on.
But
no,
also, when...
You know, this thing... This,
focus. I don't think for the first quarter would be like...
No,
it's
It's going to be difficult
this year, Chair,
okay,
because
you
are now very pretty close to MTP. It could only after MTP.
Beyond that. We don't know when it's coming.
The other thing that I'm trying to say is that because I do not think, I do not see the committee conducting oversight, I mean hearings, over the first quarter expenditure report. What is the time that do you think we can actually see the entities of the department? Because we are approaching...
Darren, in terms of the program.
I wish our work here needs to be informed by a program as well.
I know. It comes like that. You know what?
So that we work smart.
No. It comes with proposal. Then it must be discussed by management.
Mm.
And then we take it to...
Proposal is fine.
Yeah.
We all agree with the proposal.
Yeah.
But looking at the feasibility of the time
yeah.
of the program, because the first quarter, I don't think, I had a proposal with the first quarter, to say, because we're not going to call departments for first quarter,
yeah.
we can write inward to those who are, you know, to the departments that have actually understand extremely,
yeah,
and said, let them explain in writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah,
instead of just leaving the bathroom,
yeah,
then
okay,
MP,
let's do
MP,
that.
MP, and then where is also
government?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could consider writing
how do you measure this in terms of the annual performance plan? Is there any good performance plan around
it? It's broken down into quarters.
So if they come in the first quarter, right? They understand you in the first quarter.
But you might not necessarily be able to meet all of them.
How do you benchmark with the AP from the first quarter to push them closer, to push them further into the delivery area? So I'm saying to you, hypothetically, they're underperforming in the first quarter in terms of expenditure, but they're projected and they're planning.
Of course,
they can do more than that.
So
how do you push them to that area of
if we knew, if we had that information available, we could just join the fourth quarter and the first quarter. We could have joined the fourth quarter and the first quarter. Give us the fourth quarter and the first quarter information. Present the fourth quarter and the fourth quarter combined.
Yeah,
but if we had the first quarter already in our
Oh, okay. No, we can't receive information and then we want to put it on the program. We must receive information and think how we
look at
our
program.
Look at the program. Then look at what I mean.
It gives us also a chance now to work on the thing, knowing that we've got so much time to spend on this. Because remember, this is not the only community that's in the life. Just being invited to make a comment to come and present. You know, just being invited. Insist on a clear program for our work.
Maybe what you could do is to have a quick run on this report and draft proposed
department
areas of clarity as well as department for them to do so in writing. Because it will be. We will be demanding too much of them
to come here.
It could just as well work well for us to get information in writing. We then see how we process it through the structures of our committee. And then at some point, if we think we need to call it a particular department, to do so. But informed by how my responses are to the questions that we are posing, given the expenditure.
Because any donor provider is most important to see them on the record of their reasons for
expenditure.
Yes. So to pick up the trend and
the trend
we're going forward and record them. And also, remember, we're going to the second quarter now.
Yeah.
Inclusive the second quarter into the because the tradition that was
down
in the second quarter without reasons for under-improvement conditions. I feel what we don't need sometimes to invite people from each other just to come and present one thing or something. Explain this thing. It becomes part of the
like all these entities that are this long list of them, we might actually not want to see them
all together.
At least for now. We might want to say to them, you have this budget, give us how you are spending it, what are your
target the focus
on projects.
On projects.
On new economic transformation.
Economic transformation.
Support for business and cooperatives.
Yeah.
You see that line
all
of
that.
That line of questioning, I think for me, it's actually we're starting now to talk to the people who are and
yeah.
for transformation project.
Yeah.
It was my mother plan. So we have that in mind with him. Mother. The mass exercise announced for us are not only announced by everybody and then we do as usual. But Parliament also wants to know about
this. That's why we must consistently keep this question every time we meet the department. Write to them,
put it down.
Put it down and say report to the committee on this particular issue.
Because it's part of your agenda. I was saying with the person the other time. You must never be apologetic about economic transformation.
Never. You should be a question of transformation.
Budget.
It's a political statement for transformation.
Yeah.
Now, if they're going to ask blank questions,
quick
budget, you must ask questions that suggest that now you know what you're looking for.
Bank of Nigeria this paper. Okay, fine.
It's our duty to look beyond that, those figures and those facts. What do you reckon?
Thank you very much. Thanks very much.